Actually, yeah, I'll do it. All right, assalamu alaikum, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and get started, inshallah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Rabbi shahli sadri wa sari amri wa hlul ruklata min lisani. Yafqahu qawli rabbi zidni ilma, rabbi zidni ilma, rabbi zidni ilma. Welcome back to Exploring the Quran. Alhamdulillah, we've been covering Surah Yusuf, and we've been going through different stories as it pertains, different parts of the story of Yusuf alayhi salam, as it pertains to how to find faith during times of difficulty. So last week, we spent time talking about Yusuf alayhi salam's story, and in the portion in which he's faced with this very difficult situation of someone bringing something that is so unethical, something that is very much so against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told them to do, and making it an almost like an impossible choice for him. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, at the end of that net portion, he tells us, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings it to us that, thank you so much, that Yusuf alayhi salam says that like prison is more beloved to him than to do what they're asking him to do. And what's important is that as we keep understanding how do we find faith in times of trial and difficulty, is that you recognize that just because a person gets through maybe one portion or one trial, it does not necessitate that life is kind of, okay, it gets better, right? It does get easier to navigate. There's a difference between being able to figure out, you know, your footing versus the job lightens up. 9 times out of 10, it doesn't lighten up. You just get better at dealing with it. And so Yusuf alayhi salam, now he's in this place where he's going to be going into prison. And in going to prison, you find that he's now facing a different type of difficulty while he's there. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us that the quality or the type of believer, the type of person that is like a true, true believer, is a person who, when they're faced with that wind of difficulty and hardship and trial and tribulation, they're able to kind of move, you know? You ever heard like be like water, okay, ride the wave, right? If a person is rigid, they don't move, they're not able to kind of push through the storm, then they break, right? If a wind is very strong and the twig is just like this, just stays like this, a cedar tree, for instance, that's the analogy the Prophet gives, it doesn't move, it's not swayable, then essentially what it does is at some point it breaks. And so that breaking that the Prophet brings an example of is a breaking of one's faith in Iman. But if you're able to kind of go with the wind, right? Hey, this is the way that God wants me to go. This is the direction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking me into. Then you're also able to find that love of Allah. Because Anas ibn Malik radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ قَوْمًا إِبْتَلَاهُمْ, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a group of people, then he does test them. And I know sometimes we get this confused, like, well, if God loved me, then why would he test me and all these things? But remember what a test is, right? A test is a showing of your faith. Essentially, when we know that we should put our trust in Allah, when we know that we should, you know, have this level of love and compassion for God, and when we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has love and compassion for us, then sometimes, you know, when things are just going and you're kind of just going with the flow, you're not able to actually put it into practice and you're not able to actually feel it, right? So for instance, we do something called praying all the time. We pray 5 times a day, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, and hopefully for the most part we try our best to be as consistent with our prayers as possible. But when the days are going and the tough gets toughing, then that 5 daily prayer is no longer a check-in, it's a checkpoint. Okay, you're just like, oh, I'm just checking this off my list, I'm just getting it done. When in its essence, salah is not to be something that's just checked off of your list. It's supposed to be a recentering. It's supposed to be a way of you knowing and being able to navigate your day and your life. Why? Because your deen is your way of life, is how you interact, is how you are as a person. And so essentially, when we're in the rest of our day and we're at work, we're at school, we're watching things, we're reading things, we're listening to podcasts that have nothing to do with our lives, like everything to do with someone else's life, right? How many things are you battling, though? How many things are you battling, right? You know, parents, they say typically, it's easier to raise my kids when they're so young. They're so much younger because I'm the only one feeding them information. When they go off to school, then they're spending 8 hours with someone else and how someone else raised their kids. So they're battling like what mom told me to do at home, right? Versus what I experience. And we kind of think that that's something that just stays in like a child. But that's how we are too. When we go to the store, we're experiencing other people that maybe do not practice or do not like exist in life how we exist. And perhaps maybe the first time you see something strange, you're like, kind of weird, doesn't sit right. Second time you see it, it's not as strange because you've seen it before. The third time you're completely immune to it, well, I'm not doing it. The fourth time you're like, well, at least this one looks better than the last time I saw this person, right? So you just get so desensitized. And your salah, what it does for you is it brings you back to that centering point. It brings you back to a checkpoint. So when a person just keeps going through life and they're not intentional about life and or life just takes over, sometimes you're not able to recenter yourself and find that relationship between you and Allah. A fitna or like a trial or tribulation, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَفَتَنَّاكَ فُتُونَا to Musa alayhi salam. And we've tested you with many different tests. Do you think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't love Musa? No, he says, وَأَلْقَيْتُ عَلَيْكَ مَحَبَّةً مِنِّي. I've bestowed love upon you that was especially from me. The Prophet had so many tests. But what did they do every single time they were tested? They made dua. They were able to turn to Allah and have an honest conversation with God. In our Jalalain class today, we were actually talking about the dua of Musa alayhi salam. And in this dua, he literally tells Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have given Fir'aun and his chiefs and these great people so much wealth and so many good things. Like not just wealth, you're giving them zina, like the beauties of life. And they're using this as a means of being able to misguide and misdirect other people. So take it away from them. Let it be nothing. Let them wake up the next day and they don't have any wealth. How personal of a dua, right? How personal? He didn't say, oh Allah, just give us the ability to defeat Fir'aun. He didn't just say that. He made it personal. Why? Because he's facing a very difficult situation of seeing his people be oppressed. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is showing us what it means to be tested and to find that faith. And the Prophet is saying, test is not all bad. People think that, okay, I'm going through it because God is mad at me. No, it's actually the complete opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to come closer to him. And because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to come closer to him, he's telling you, I'm right here. I'm right here. You're distracted by everything else, so you cannot feel my presence. So this is what I'm doing to bring you back here. So Yusuf alayhi salam, he enters into prison. And when he enters into prison, you see this different part of him, right? In the previous verses, we've seen Yusuf alayhi salam to be kind of, I would translate it as kind of quiet. He hasn't really said much. He hasn't really interacted much. There's been a lot of the verses have been telling us what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told him and what someone else has said to him. And the only time we've really seen him speak up is in defense of himself. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَدَخَلَ مَعَهُ سِجْنَ فَتَيَانَ that Yusuf alayhi salam entered into prison. And when he entered into prison, there were two young men that entered into that prison with him. So they were all there together. Now, there's parts of the story that are not written in the Quran. The reason being is because there's something Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to focus on. And remember, the Quran is not a storybook. But in order for you guys to be able to understand and for this to make sense, it's important for us to know that Yusuf alayhi salam enters in and he's just doing his ibadah in his normal way, right? He's worshiping God. He's praying. You know, he's talking in a way that is like very pleasing to Allah. And he's being his normal self, you would say. Now, these two young men, they were standing trial for having been accused of poisoning the king. Okay, so they were standing trial for that. So they see Yusuf is carrying himself in this very interesting manner, right? Such a positive person, seems like a decent human being. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ أَحَدُهُمَا, that one of them then said, إِنِّي أَرَانِي أَأْسِرُ خَمْرًا. They wanted Yusuf alayhi salam to actually help them out. They were like, you know what? We've had these dreams and we want to see if you can interpret them. So the first one says that I had a dream that was pressing wine. وقال الآخر, and the other one then said, إني أراني, I saw myself, أحمل فوق رأسي خبزا, carrying bread on top of my head. تأكل طير منه, and some birds were eating at it. نبئنا بتأويله. So tell us what it is. Okay, can you imagine someone comes to you, they're like, I had a dream. Please explain this dream to me. I would have been like, I had a dream too. I just told somebody that I had a dream that we were getting sued by some Bible company because of a book that I'm very adamant that nobody should, the QI book, nobody should see. I don't know why it's on my mind. Literally this morning I woke up and was like, we're getting sued by like Bible company. What is happening, right? Now you guys tell me what that dream means. Exactly. So they come to Yusuf alayhi salam, they're like, tell us what these dreams mean. And they said, Inna naraka min al muhsinin. We're not just asking you randomly, we're asking you because we see that you're a part of those that are good doers. But muhsin is someone that is like sincere. Okay, we look at you and we see that you're carrying yourself in a very sincere manner. Remember, this is a prison. Okay, it's a prison, which means that everybody in there has some type of thing they're about to stand trial for. Doesn't necessitate everybody's guilty. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam himself is there, and is he guilty? He's not. But everybody kind of has their own problems. And the nature of this type of environment is nobody wants to help the other person out. Like, everybody's kind of like, you know, I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to get out of here. But they come to Yusuf alayhi salam, they said, you've been carrying yourself in a way that's very sincere. It looks great. And so we want to see if you can interpret our dream for us. Now, Yusuf alayhi salam says something very interesting after. He does what prophets do, and that is give dawah. Okay? And this dawah, it is to show that what I'm going to tell you next does not come from me. Why? Because, excuse me, they may think that Yusuf alayhi salam is trying to be self-serving. Right? You're trying to give me this interpretation or this meaning because maybe it'll do something for you. But Yusuf alayhi salam, you remember way back when his father told him that this difficulty, this trial, what you're about to go through is for God to complete his favor upon you, and that he can teach you min ta'wil al-ahadith, so he can teach you the interpretation of the dream. And then what happens? He grows up into this home and with the Aziz. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us he reached the age of maturity. And God gave him hukman wa ilma, wisdom and knowledge. And part of that knowledge is that now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had taught him how to interpret dreams. So now he's in prison. Before that, he just has the knowledge of it. We don't have any stories that say that while he was in the house of the Aziz, anybody had a dream that they needed to interpret it. No. And so sometimes we think our purpose to be served is right where we're at. And then when we get moved by Allah, we get sad. Well, I don't want to go to this phase of my life. Or I don't want to do this. Or sometimes we think that where we're at is not where we're supposed to be. So we ask Allah, oh Allah, take us to this phase of our life. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still keeps you where you are. And when you're like miserable, right? You don't end up getting the best out of that moment. And then you move on to what you wanted, and you say, man, it was all going to work out. I should have enjoyed that, right? That's why the human being is ever so ungrateful, because we're always trying to move to the next thing. But look at Yusuf alayhi salam. Look at where he was. And in that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much skill, and he gave him this knowledge and this wisdom, and he didn't really have to use it at that time. And perhaps maybe he's like, maybe I'll never use it. And now he's in prison, and I'm sure he doesn't want to be in prison, right? But he's finding himself using this great miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him. And so he says that قَالَ لَا يَأْتِيكُمَ تَعَامٌ تُرْزَقَانِ إِلَّا نَبَأْتُكُمَ بِتَأْوِيلِهِ قَبْلَ أَنْ يَأْتِيَكُمَ. He says, I can even tell you, forget interpreting dreams. He's like, that's cake. I can even tell you what kind of meal, not what you're going to eat, no. What type of food you're going to be served before you even receive it. I can tell you that. I can tell you what's going to come next for you. He says, why? ذَلِكُمَا مِمَّا عَلَّمَنِي رَبِّي. Because that is from what my Lord has taught me. It hasn't come from me. What I know and the knowledge that I have And what I'm able to accomplish doesn't is not a result of my own doing. And that goes for each and every single one of us. What we're able to do and the people that we're able to be and what we're able to fulfill and how we're able to stand up to the plate or step up to every opportunity or whatever the case may be is not about our own capability. It's about the capability that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us. It is about the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows upon us. It is about the opportunity and the doors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens for us, which is why every single role that a person plays in life is very important because it's a gift from Allah. Because you're playing a role that someone next to you really wished that they could be playing. You're doing something in life that somebody next to you really wishes that they could be doing. But guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't give that person that opportunity. He gave it to you. And so Yusuf alayhi salam is saying, don't be impressed with me. He's saying, this is cake. Why? Because of Allah. It's cake because my Lord has taught me and he's given me the ability to do this. But he says, listen, when God gives you miracles and he gives you opportunity, you don't get to just live your life in any type of way. He says, إِنِّي تَرَكْتُ مِلَّةَ قَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. I left the path of the people who do not believe in Allah. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ كَافِرُونَ. And the people who do not think that accountability is a thing, they disbelieve in the hereafter. وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْحَاقَ وَيَعْقُوبَ. And I follow the faith of my forefathers, Ibrahim, Ishaq, and Yaqub, his father. He says, I follow the path of the people who know what the right path is. مَا كَانَ لَنَا أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. And it's not befitting of us. It is not good character. It is not the way that a person who is grateful to their Lord for the things that he has given them, it is not the way of someone who recognizes and has true reverence for God to associate partners with Allah. And whenever we get to this part, you know, for us, we're like, thank God, alhamdulillah, we don't do that. But shirk is not just about creed, okay? It's not. Big part of it, 90% of it is creed, yes. But another part of it that is still very big, it's about putting things before Allah, right? It's about putting things before God. It is not befitting of someone who is grateful to Allah. Gratitude in its essence means that you feel like I am indebted to X, Y, and Z person for what they've done to me or for me, which means that if you call, I'm picking up the phone on the first ring. Why? Because I'm indebted to you. You have given me so much that I didn't deserve. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has helped us with so many things that we did not ask for. He has saw us through so many difficulties before we even knew it was a difficulty. He has given us so many skills before we even needed to use them. And so we are to be grateful to Allah. But when we need to pray or we need to, you know, fast, and perhaps maybe we do have something a little bit more demanding in our life, and we say, well, this can wait. Or my prayer can wait. My fasting can wait. Why? Because I need to do this. What has that thing done for you? In fact, where did it come from? Right? Oh, I can't pray right now because of my job. Who gave you that job? It's not the person who employed you, that's for sure. Because had you ceased to exist, you wouldn't have had a job. Had that person ceased to exist, they wouldn't have been able to offer you a job. Had you not been in the exact place at that exact time, you wouldn't have gotten that opportunity. And so it's so important to realize that shirk, yes, 90% is about creed. But that very strong 10% for us believers is about not putting things before Allah. So Yusuf alayhi salam says, مَا كَانَ لَنَا. It is not befitting for us. It's not the type of character that we carry. أَن نُشْرِكَ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. That we put anything before our relationship between us and Allah. ذَلِكَ مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْنَا. And that is also not by my own doing. It is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's favor. It is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy. It is by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessing that I'm able to think of him. He bestowed this favor upon us, and that is why we're able to have this thought. Wa ala nasi, and upon people, walakinna akthara nasi la yashkurun. But you will find that many people are ungrateful. You'll find that they will not show gratitude to Allah. Therefore, they struggle to put Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Now, you may think to yourself, what does this got to do with their dream? Well, they Yusuf Ali Islam wants to make it very clear that when I interpret this dream for you, it's not about me. It's about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants me to tell you. That's the first thing. The second thing is that this is a miracle for him to be so accurate in the interpretation of the dream. For him to even be able to interpret dreams in the first place is a part of his miracle. And the nature of the miracle of prophets is that they come to their people and they talk to their people in the way that they understand, right? Because for us, we may think that it's like a one-off thing, someone had a dream. But we're going to see in the story that it's not a one-off thing. It was a thing of that time that they had dream interpreters, and those dream interpreters would be like in a range of like 30 to 60% correct. Now imagine you go fix your car and somebody says it's like 60% okay. You would think, I don't want anyone to drive it. Like, I have a 60% chance of dying. Like, you know, like, what is happening, right? So they weren't able to be 100% accurate. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave Yusuf alayhi salam that miracle to be 100% accurate. Why? Because it requires things of the unseen. Yusuf alayhi salam does not, in his innate nature, he's not capable of knowing the future. But because of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed upon him, he's capable of knowing the future. And so essentially, what Yusuf alayhi salam is letting them know is that you need to actually enter into this faith. Okay? And the narration say that he's not just saying this only to these two, like he's talking to them, but he's talking so loud that it's like preaching to the entirety of the prison. And then he says, Ya sahibi sijni, all my fellow prisoners, arbabun mutafarrikuna. This is how you know that he's speaking to everybody. He says, what is far khairun, what is far better? Is it far better to have different gods that you worship or different things that you focus on? Amillahu al-wahidul qahhar. Or to worship only the one and only Allah. A qahhar means the one who is so powerful that it prevails everything, right? You know, like something like you know, a tornado pushes through everything, right? So this level of power that really pushes through everything. So is it better to like have to go to different stores and shop around or to go to one store and get everything you need at a cheap price? One store and get everything you need at a cheap price. And so Yusuf alayhi salam is saying that you guys are busy trying to worship this, worship that, do this, do that. You're focusing on so many things, you're losing your purpose in life. It's better to focus on worshiping Allah alone and you see your purpose and your worldview right there. And he says, "Ma ta'buduna min duni," that whatever you worship instead of him, illa asma'an sammaytumuha, they're not real. The things that you've worshiped except instead of Allah, they're not real. They're just names that you've named. They're just things that you gave name to. Antum wa aba'ukum, you and your forefathers. Ma anzalallahu biha min sultanin, and Allah has not given them any type of authority or power. Meaning that in other places you will find that they don't have any power. They don't have any power to bring you good. They don't have any power to bring you harm. But typically you find that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one addressing the idols. Here you have Yusuf alayhi salam is the one addressing people's worship of idols. And so for him to even say they have no power, it kind of gives them a little bit of like, you know, it's like, oh, you can like push this cart, but you're not strong enough. But you're still giving them some ability. Yusuf alayhi salam is not giving these things that people worship any ability. He says Allah has not given it any type of authorization or authority. And then he says, إِنَّ الْحُكْمُ إِلَّا لِلَّهِ, that no, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has true judgment. God is the one who has legislation. Allah is the one who gets to determine morality. Allah is the one who gets to determine right and wrong. That is it. Where are they? In a prison. And they're in the prison on the judgment of other people. And Yusuf alayhi salam is essentially saying, I don't care what other people have classified me as. I will not be a criminal unless Allah tells me I'm a criminal. If God convicts me as a criminal, then so be it. But did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala convict Yusuf alayhi salam as a criminal? No. Yusuf alayhi salam was not in prison because of any wrongdoing. In fact, he was in prison because of his honesty. He was in prison because of his loyalty to Allah. He was in prison because of his submission. He had that level of dedication and determination, but also trust in Allah that his reputation would not be ruined by being in this place. So he says that true judgment belongs to Allah. أَمَرَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And the first case of morality, the first rule in ethics that God has legislated and ordained is that you don't worship anyone other than him. ذَلِكَ دِينُ الْقَيَّمِ. Why? Because this is the true way to live life. This is the actual way that a person has substance. This is the only way that a person has a foundation. And this is the only way that a person really is able to establish themselves in this world. وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَ النَّاسِ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. But you find that many people truly will not know. And then he says, Ya sahib al-sijn. Then he says, oh, my fellow prisoners, let me get to your dream. Amma ahadukuma. As for the first one, fayasqi rabbahu khamran. That person will then be serving their master wine. Which means that you will live. You will live. One. Two. You will be, he will, that person will be exonerated that they did not commit this act, okay? Because it was between the two people. So you did not actually poison the king. Then he says, "Wa amma al-akhar," as for the other one, "fayuslabu fata'kulu tayru min al-ra'sihi." Then that person will be crucified. Essentially, that person will die from punishment. And there you will find that birds will come eating at his head. فَقُدِيَ الْأَمْرُ الَّذِي فِيهِ تَسْتَفْتِيَانِ. And this is the matter. This is the judgment. This is what has been decreed about what you've asked. Okay? You guys came, you inquired, and this is the decree. Now, remember, these were two young people. They were both people that were in servants to the king. One used to bring the king his drink. The other one used to be the cook. The one who used to bring the king his drink, the one other one used to be the cook. The king got sick. They realized someone tried to poison him. So they imprisoned both of them to stand trial. Now they both come. They don't tell their crime. They haven't told Yusuf alayhi salam anything. They just came with this dream. After they tell Yusuf alayhi salam the dream, Yusuf alayhi salam says, the one who was serving the king the drinks, for him, he was actually innocent. The one who was the cook was not. He tried to poison the king. Therefore, his punishment is as such. And then Yusuf alayhi salam says, وَقَالَ, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالَ لِلَّذِي ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ نَاجٍ مِّنْهُمَا أُذْكُرُونِي عِنْدَ رَبِّكَ. Yusuf alayhi salam went and he told the one who was going to be saved, right? The one who served the drink. He said to him that, go and when you go back, mention me to your Lord. Meaning, mention me to your master, not like God, mention me to your master. Meaning the king, because you're going to go work for him again. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa ansahu shaytanu. Shaytan caused him to forget. Now this fa is very interesting. The Arabic language has these little, we have like 7 minutes, okay. I'm going to do this really quick. So the Arabic language have these little markers, right? That teaches different things about the story. This fa is a fa sababiyya, it's known as a consequential fa, which means almost like immediately. I got in my car and drove off, which means I didn't sit down, turn, like call my mom, text my family, check my rearview mirrors, put on my hijab properly. I didn't do all that. I got in the car, I drove off, put on my seatbelt while I was driving. That's what the fa means. So Yusuf alayhi salam tells him, mention me to the king. Listen, just tell him. Tell him my case. Rise so I can be exonerated. Because Yusuf alayhi salam is wrongfully in prison currently. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, fa ansahu shaytanu. The guy got out, forgot where he came from. Immediately shaytan made him forget. Immediately. Dhikra rabbihi. So he didn't mention it to the king. Falabitha fi sijni bid'a sinin. Then Yusuf alayhi salam remained in the prison for some time. Can you imagine sitting there for weeks and weeks, some narration says years, for a crime that you did not commit? And we're just coming out of a very painful week, you know, of so many different situations that have occurred, but most recently the situation in Missouri, where we've literally have millions of people signing petitions to be able to free someone, not even free them, but give them a chance at a retrial. And what happened? Because of people's perceived understanding of power, they said no. But what did Yusuf alayhi salam say? He says, "Inna al-hukma lillah." True judgment is with who? It's with Allah. And that's what we have to remember. That time and time again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us, especially in the last 356 days, Allah has shown us over and over and over and over again, stop putting your trust in people. Why do we keep putting our trust in judges and presidents and senators and spokesperson? What have they done for us until this point? Zero. They have not given us affordable housing. They have not given us the simple things that they have control over. They have not zoned zones properly. They have not given us affordable food. They have not given us clean water. Our brothers and sisters in Flint, Michigan, as much as I hate Michigan, in Flint, Michigan, still do not have clean water. They have not given us clean water. They have not given people their basic human right of being able to exist as a human being. But we truly thought in the depths of our hearts that they were going to save our brothers and sisters in Philistine, that they were going to save our brothers and sisters in Congo and Sudan and Mali and all these different places in the world that have been suffering at the hands of these same people that we've elected into office because we put our trust in them. When Yusuf alayhi salam tells this man, "Go and tell the king about me," do you think that Yusuf alayhi salam put his trust in that guy? No. That was Yusuf alayhi salam tying his camel, which means we do our part. We make our calls. We sign our petitions. We do our part. But result is in the hands of who? Allah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants something to happen, it shall happen, but it's a lesson for each and every single one of us. Yusuf alayhi salam did this man the biggest favor he could have in his life. He helped him out. And in that moment, he asked for what? A small thing. A mention. Does it take an energy? Does it take a dollar? Does it take time? It doesn't take anything. A mention. That's what he asked for. And this man couldn't do it. He was incapable of doing it. But it wasn't Yusuf's time. It wasn't his time. And so what we need to internalize are two things. The first thing is that our capability and what we are able to do is from Allah. And so we need to start curating our du'as a little bit better. Not Allah, just get me through the day. We've been together for a long time. We're beyond that now. Allah, whatever good that you want me to accomplish in this world that will take me to Jannah and earn your mercy and compassion, ya Allah, allow me to put every inch of my energy into that good. Every inch of it. That is the dua that we need to be making. That is the mindset that we need to wake up with every single day. The second thing is that we need to stop putting results in the hands of people. And we need to put the results in the hands of Allah. And that means that we wake up every day saying, "Ya Allah, I trust your judgment. And I trust what you have in store for me today. And I trust what you have in store for the ummah today. And Ya Allah, all I ask of you is that you make me content with your decree. You make me content with what happens. And you allow me to be on the right side of things and not on the wrong side of things." So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to benefit from everything that we heard here today. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives us all of our shortcomings, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be people who are on the right side of history. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to gather in a gathering much better than this, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows us to be saved from those who are the oppressors, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows our brothers and sisters around the world who are suffering and who are going through immense levels of difficulty, that he bestows them with mercy and compassion, and that those who are oppressors, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deals with them in whatever way he sees to be fit. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakallahu khairan. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I know it's short today, but it's because of Maghrib. we're still figuring out the time thing, okay? And we have to pray because God told us to, right? Inshallah. Hold on, let me turn this off.